Let's turn to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus 22. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay five oxen for the ox and four sheep for the sheep. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive in his possession, whether an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall pay double. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that stacked grain or the standing grain or the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him as stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. For every breach of trust, whether it is for ox, for donkey, for sheep, for clothing, or any lost thing about which one says, "This is it," the case of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man gives his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep for him, and it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property, and its owner shall accept it, and he shall not make restitution. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If it is all torn to pieces, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make full restitution. If its owner is with it, he shall not make restitution. And if it is hired, it came for its hire. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the dowry for virgins. You shall not allow a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall be surely put to death. He who sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be utterly destroyed. And you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I shall kill you with the sword, and your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you are to return it to him before the sun sets. For that is his only covering, it is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it shall come about that when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. You shall not curse God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay the offering from the harvest of and your vintage. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me. Therefore you shall not eat any flesh torn to pieces in the field. You should throw it to the dogs. Amen. So now Moses is moving along in this, and now he's dealing with property rights. And he says that the issue of theft, if you steal an ox as opposed to a sheep, the ox is, if you steal an ox, you have to pay five times. If you steal a sheep, you have to pay four times. And that's really purely based on the usefulness of the beast. An ox was more useful, so you had to pay more for that. It's just if you, you know, try to understand how this works. The thief that comes to you, if he comes to you at night and he dies, in other words, he tries to steal something and he dies as a result, then it's just taken for granted that the blood guiltiness will not be on your hands, okay? Because at night, there could be a chance for violence, quick reaction. On the flip side now, if he comes into your home or your ranch or whatever that is, and he tries to steal something, and you kill him, that actually your blood will be required. And the reason why Moses is laying this out for them in this way is because part of the whole Jewish tradition and what they want to establish more than anything else is really the sanctity of life. And life is a precious thing that God gives, and you had to be very careful in how you're going to deal with life, particularly, you know, someone else's life. And so really interesting. So if it's during the evening and the thief dies, then it's a wash. You're fine. But isn't it interesting? But if it's during the day, in other words, the primary mode by which they want to operate is justice, mercy, kindness. These are the very things that they want to operate in as a people more than anything else. So you kind of keep that in mind. So if he's found to have something, then he is required to pay double. Okay, in this regard, in his possession. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare, animals loose in someone else's field, then you have to give to that person the best of your field and the best of your vineyard, whatever it may be. In other words, this is your property rights. You have a right to this. And so to encroach on somebody else's, and it's not so much, you know, you can graze a little bit, I mean, just totally wipe out that land, then Moses says that's not good. Verse 6, we'll continue on. If a fire breaks out and spreads the thorn bushes, so that stacked grain or the standing grain itself is consumed, he who started the fire should surely make restitution. Now, this is very common that in the summer times, they would always burn their field, and that would get the field ready for harvest. And so burning the field would you know, clear all the dross. It would clear all the different things. It would actually give birth to some seed, and it would kill all the vermin that would have been in the field left over from the last fall's harvest. And so this was a very common thing, but it was a controlled fire. If the fire now is going towards the I guess the grain in the field, that this would be the barns, this is where everything are stacked, then the person lost control of the fire and they would have to make restitution. You guys understand that? And so if a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep and then it's stolen, the thief is caught, he's going to pay double. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house, so basically you give someone something to hold, someone steals it in their home, even though that's your property, not the person in the home. If the thief is not caught, then you make a gentleman's agreement with each other. In other words, he says you make an oath with another. And so the owner of the house says, hey, I had nothing to do with this. Then it's a wash. Okay, you don't deserve anything, or the owner of the house doesn't owe anything. But if they go before the judge and the judge says, oh, this is fishy, I think you play a role in this, then you have to pay double. If a man gives his neighbor anything to hold, to borrow, to use, and then in the course of that, the animal is injured or whatnot, then, again, if there's an oath made and says, hey, this was not my fault, this is a pure accident, then the oath is made and there's no restitution. But again, if something is fishy, then they need to make restitution. They actually need to make double of this. They need to go before a judge. They make an agreement that whatever the judge says is going to happen, and so they move on. If a borrows anything, make restitution. And then in verse 16, we have the beginning, what they call the sundry laws, and we're going to get to that in the next few chapters. Sundry is just a word that just means miscellaneous. And so you've heard like sundry items. In other words, it's miscellaneous items. Probably many of you ladies in your purse, you have probably millions of sundry items, right? Miscellaneous things that have been piled up. It's the same idea. And so there doesn't really follow any kind of order per se, but it just really lays out random instances. And so, I mean, talk about really random. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged, so this would be basically premarital sex, then he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. You know, this idea of sexuality was so much tied into commitment, which is so different than our modern-day approach to sexuality. It's really about non-commitment more than anything else, but it was so tied in because sexuality was reserved for marriage. Now, if a person went outside that bound, then they were actually required to give a dowry to the wife to be his wife. Now, if the father just basically says, no, I'm not going to give you my daughter in marriage, he was, the seducer was still required to pay a dowry for a virgin. And so it continues on. You shall not, verse 18, you shall not allow a sorceress to live. And in other words, anyone that's dealing with dark arts or dealing with a form of idolatry that kind of goes beyond that, this is immediately they should be put to death. And obviously, we're talking about here in Jewish context, okay? And so for a Jewish person to practice sorcery in this way would be horrible. I mean, it would be anathema, which would be the greatest curse. 19, I mean, talking about random, whoever lies with an animal should be put to death. The word lying with an animal is, in our modern day, it's a bestiality. In other words, having intercourse with a beast, which is totally gross, right? And so if that's happening, death immediately. He who sacrifices to any god, this is dealing with idolatry, other than the Lord alone, shall utterly be destroyed. Other translation actually says, should be put under a ban. And so there must have been some form of punishment that was reserved for idolaters in this way. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. And thus comes really the whole practice of refugees and whatnot. And, you know, refugee, the whole idea of a refuge was a very, very Christian idea. I mean, it still is, that sojourners in the land, you treat them well. And this is still, actually, even today in the Bedouin culture, very much practiced, that according to the nomads that exist in Egypt and, you know, throughout the Middle East, these nomadic cultures, that if you were a guest to come into their home, by their own laws, their own practice, you were actually entitled to the best that they had there. And so, I mean, it's really quite amazing how this still really comes through. You shall not afflict any widow or any orphan. And so, again, very, very clear rules to protect the marginalized. To protect those that are weak. It was always, in a Jewish construct, it was always the practice of the society, in other words, the people, to take care of their own people in this regard. Obviously, first, it would be the family that is the one that operates in that. And then if for whatever reason the family can't do that, then it's the collective people that will take care of the marginalized, the weak, the widows, and the orphans. And that was always a part of the Jewish ethic, but also the Christian ethic as well. And he says, look, if you afflict him, and this person prays to me, and he says, then I'm going to come down in vengeance. And so this whole, you know, this whole act of justice, when you think about this, really hinges on the reality that God is watching you. So you look at some of these laws that they laid out. You know, so you steal something, you deny it. What's the recourse of someone doing that? So someone lets you, gives you possession of, you know, five oxen, you actually have a party and you cook them yourself and you feed your whole family and whatnot, and then you tell your neighbor, oh, I'm sorry, they disappeared, or I don't know what happened to them, they were stolen. I mean, really, what binds you to truth and honesty? What binds them is God. What binds them is the reality that God is watching, and that any time any member can cry out to God, and He will listen and answer their prayers. And there is a result that happens. Even in our modern day, I know that we all want justice on earth. We understand that. Like, you know, one of the things, whenever I watch movies, you know, dealing with the Holocaust or, you know, dealing with the Nazis or anything like that, I mean, a part of me really burns in anger. Not so much, I mean, obviously of what happened, but the reality is there's so many people that did horrific things that end up living very long lives. And they escaped Germany, they took up new identities, and, you know, all these kinds of things. But what, as a, you know, as a child of God, what pacifies me is that the Lord is going to render judgment. Again, we have this ethic, this Christian ethic in God, right, that God, right, vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. And so whatever the person got away with on earth is going to be nothing compared to what is going to happen for all eternity. Do you guys understand? And so that becomes the groundwork or the foundation to tell the truth. That becomes the foundation to be honest, to be moral, to live righteously in this regard. Because you have a righteous God not necessarily, I mean, in our context, that's watching us to see if we're going to make a mistake, but we have a righteous God, and there's going to be consequences to that. That's why in a lot of countries right now that are moving in terms of a Western idealism in order to justice and law and whatnot, but at the same time, they don't have a Christian ethic laid in the foundation, they run into a lot of problems. I mean, China right now, a lot of problems. They're asking people to be honest and be moral, but there's really not very much an undergirding to really establish that foundation. And so as a result of this, everything is running crazy. And it really takes this ethic to be established. If you lend money to my people, especially to the poor now, the part of this from 25 and 26, or actually 27, is really dealing with the poor. And I'll talk about this in a moment. So if you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you're not to act as a creditor, but you shall not charge him interest. Okay? In other words, you need to take care of the marginalized in society. If you take your neighbor's cloak, this is still dealing with the poor as a pledge. In other words, you lend them money, and so as a deposit or collateral, you take their cloak. It says you are to return it to him before the sun sets. And the reason why they do that is because when you're poor, your cloak actually acts as your blanket. And so even though they may give it to you as a pledge to borrow the funds, number one, you're supposed to give them, not charge them interest. Number two, that if a cloak is given, so a typical poor person would sleep in his day clothes. I mean, there wouldn't be any form of pajamas or anything like that. And the cloak, this outer garment, would actually be used as a blanket. And so he says that you need to return this to them in this regard. Some of them would actually also be sleeping outdoors. And so this is a provision that the Lord makes primarily to the poor in this regard. In other words, the whole idea is be gracious, be generous. Right? It says, for it is his only covering, it is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it shall come about that when he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am gracious. And so what he's telling the wealthy to do is simply to be generous and to be gracious. I think that that comes into incredibly stark contrast to the wealth gap that we're experiencing today, right now. And the simple reality is the 1% are really not being generous at all. And so, you know, there's this provision that's going to work. And I tell you, it's going to cause a lot of, some serious issues in society right now. And even, you know, I was watching the news last night, and now the property market in Hong Kong has now reached past the peak of 1997 before the Great Asian Financial Crisis. And so, you know, some banks are writing reports now saying, okay, what's going to happen? The idea that the property prices now have hit, I think, 13.5 times gross earnings. At the height of before the Asian financial crisis, it was 13.2 times. And so now we actually went tip the scales. And so, I mean, could there be a correction? I'm not here to talk about that. But all to say that we're leading down very perilous road right now, not only here in Hong Kong, but all over the world. In the United States, in most countries of the world, the gap is just growing larger and larger and larger. And it's really the impetus of the 1% to operate out of this generosity more than anything else. You shall not delay the offering from your harvest or your vintage. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and your sheep. You shall be with its mother 7 days, 8 days. You shall give it to me. Now, obviously, God's talking in two different terms here, okay? He's not, when he's talking about giving it to me, he's talking about dedicate them to me. He's not saying literally give them to me in this regard, because it's the same way on the seventh day and then on the eighth day. So he's dealing with the issue of circumcision here. And so on the eighth day, the oxen and the sheep, they're supposed to be given, but the kids also in that way, they're dedicated unto the Lord. And then you shall be holy men to me, therefore you shall not eat any flesh torn to pieces in the field. You should throw it to the dogs. And so everyone is supposed to operate in this regard. Okay? Amen? So let's close our eyes. I know that this morning, you know, fairly dry, very clear. But what can we take out of this, out of some of these laws? Again, you know, most of this deals with how we treat other people. Most of these laws deal with how to treat them in terms of our property, how to treat them in terms of our possessions, how to treat them in terms of our money. And so in that regard, regardless if you have much or little, are you generous to the poor? Are you generous to the marginalized? Are you generous to those who don't need your generosity? I mean, that happens a lot, doesn't it? It's amazing how much wealthy people get so many things for free, and the poor have to pay for everything. And so in that regard, are we being generous to the marginalized in our societies? Let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we pray and sing.
Regrets, all my acclaim. slaves, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. And Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hopes, all of my plans, my heart and my hands, I lift it to you. And Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. I offer you my life. Lord, I offer you my life.
Let's pray this morning, and as a point of reflection, let's pray about maybe even today how we can be a blessing to someone who's marginalized, maybe someone who's poor or going through some difficulty. You know, how can we operate out of this graciousness that the Lord wants us to operate in? And as we just talk to God about it, maybe the Lord will give you some ideas of how we can do that today, and let's respond to Him in that way. Let's pray for our community that is battling cancer and going through chemo radiation therapy and recovering from surgeries. Let's pray for God's healing hand on their lives. pray for our community that is battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God will reveal himself to them in healing and in his presence. For our community with non-cancer related illnesses. So let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community with their job situation. Let's pray for God's provision. Mission focus today, and let's pray for Cambodia, and let's pray for Grace and Ashley and our friends at Bloom. Pray for Pastor O, V2R, and Pastor Tang at New Life Church. Let's also pray for our mission trips into Cambodia, our Bloom team, and our worship conference team. This will actually be SP Singapore and Hong Kong. The worship teams will be in Cambodia ministering. So let's just ask God's grace upon them as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray for all the members and their family, and that they would just really operate out of wisdom and grace to really lead our church. Thank you. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. Pray for Leanne and Bonnie as they lead these ministries and really allow the church to be more welcoming, more gracious, more loving. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP 2.0. You guys know this is 1.5 here. And so let's pray for our new building in faith, our new premises, our new center. Let's ask God to release the funds and the donations necessary. And the Lord will just have his way with us. And a lot of favor. Let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for tonight. The Leadership Institute is continuing. Pray for the spiritual warfare class and ask the Lord to be with Larry as he teaches and shares. And there will just be a lot of revelation and a lot of just connections in people's mind towards the spiritual realm. Let's lift up. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the reminder, God, to be gracious, to be generous, to be forgiving, to be understanding, God, especially as it relates to fellow brothers and sisters. And Lord, we pray that you would help us today to be all those things just as you are, God. So we thank you. We love you, Lord. Be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.